The Punishment Executed, Chapter 59. Many people with serious faces are seen walking upon the roads in the land of Canaan. Not a cheerful face can be seen, because they are sad as they walk on in silence. What is the trouble? Why do they look so sad and anxious? War has been declared. The Philistines have invaded the country, and these men have been called into the army. They must fight to defend their country. They have just taken leave, some from their wives and children, others from their fathers and mothers. Once more they have walked around their farms. It may have been for the last time, for they must go to fight against a mighty enemy, and they do not know whether they will ever return. War is so dreadful. People kill each other by the thousands. In times of peace, the doctors do their utmost to cure a deathly sick man or woman. But when war comes, then healthy, robust people purposely kill each other. That is the terrible consequence of sin. When God created man, Adam and Eve, in paradise there was no war. Now this war in Israel is a punishment for their sins. The men and boys of the Israelites walk forward to the battle, and perhaps to their death. They come together to form a large army. They will try to hold back the Philistines. At this time, they have no judge to lead them in battle. We don't even read that they prayed to God, asking him to help them in this conflict. Soon the enemy attacks them, and the Israelites are defeated by the Philistines. 4,000 soldiers of Israel are slain. They will never return to their homes. They have taken leave of their loved ones for good. However, the Israelites do not flee as yet, but they only retreat for some distance. The battle must be fought again. The elders of Israel are afraid. They say to each other, "Why didn't the Lord help us? Why were the Philistines victorious?" Ah, boys and girls, they really know the reason. At least they could have known. It was because of their sins. It was because they had forsaken the Lord. Therefore the Lord did not help them, and they were defeated. They say, "What must we do now? We must win this war, otherwise the Philistines will rule over us. We then will become the slaves of the Philistines. Do you know what we will do?" "Yes, yes, we will do that. We will do that. We will be sure to win. We cannot lose then. We will go fetch the ark, which is in the tabernacle at Shiloh. The ark must come into our midst. Then we will be delivered out of the hand of the Philistines." They send a few men to Shiloh. Possibly that village lay close to the battlefield. They bring the message to Hophni and Phinehas, who immediately agree to the proposal of the elders. They answer, "Wait a moment, we will get the ark." Lo, they walk into the Holy of Holies. "Hophni and Phinehas, you may not enter there. The high priest alone may go into that place, and then just once a year on the great day of atonement." "Did Eli also agree to it?" "You can be sure he did not. However, we do not know whether or not he warned his sons. It would not have done any good, for they would not have listened to their old father." Together they lift the ark. Together they carry it outside. Together they bring it to the army of the Israelites. The Israelites are happy when they see the ark. They shout and yell. They swing their arms and dance from gladness. Yes, they shout so loudly that the earth rang. But really, why did they shout in that manner? Well, the ark is in their midst, and now they imagine that the Lord also is in their midst. But that is not the case, Israelites. The ark isn't God. It is only a dead wooden chest covered with a lid of gold. The Israelites are so foolish. Of course, the ark was a holy object as a sign of God's presence. But the chest alone by itself was not. However, God had departed from them. And now the Israelites shout, yell, jump, and dance around as fools. They think, now that the ark is here, we will surely be victorious. Now God will lead us so that the Philistines will lose. Yes, now the Lord must help us, for the Lord will never permit the ark to fall into the hands of the enemy. But the Israelites never asked the Lord's permission to do this. They never asked the Lord to command his blessing upon it. Why, no, as long as they had the ark, it would be sufficient. They forgot that the ark itself could not help them. Only the Lord could help them. The Philistines also hear this shouting and yelling. They are bewildered. They ask, why are the Israelites so cheerful? Why are they shouting so loudly? They soon know the answer, and they frighten exceedingly. They look at each other in dread, for the mighty God of the Israelites has come into the camp of Israel. They say, woe unto us! That has never happened before. This is the same God who plagued the Egyptians with so many plagues. Do you hear that? They have respect for the God of Israel. They fear. These heathen Philistines think that this chest is God himself. Alas, they don't know any better. Let us do our very best tomorrow, otherwise we will surely lose. Every soldier must fight courageously. None must think of fleeing, for otherwise we will be the slaves of the Israelites. This is how they encourage each other. But their voices tremble. They have become very uneasy. The following morning, the battle begins anew. The fighting is fierce. It is a case of life or death. The Philistines fight with the courage born of despair, and they win. Thousands upon thousands of Israelites are slain, and the rest flee to save their lives. Do they all flee? No, a few are still fighting violently. Where are they? Look, they are with the ark. Hophni and Phinehas are fighting too. They try to defend the ark. They try to save the ark. But it is in vain. This little group of Israelites who still fight becomes smaller and smaller. They fight like lions, but the Philistines continue to come nearer. Suddenly, Hophni falls to the ground, for a Philistine soldier kills him. A little later, Phinehas also is slain. And then, a few Philistines lift the ark and take it with them. They think that they have captured the God of Israel. The battle is over. The Israelites have fled, but 30,000 soldiers of Israel will never, never come home again. 30,000 Israelites are slain, and among them are Hophni and Phinehas, who now, oh, how terrible, must appear before God. In the village of Shiloh, on the side of the road, sits an old, trembling, gray-haired man who is 98 years of age. From time to time, he lifts his head and listens intently. His dim eyes are focused upon the road. But alas, he cannot see any more, for he is blind. But he can hear. This old man is the high priest Eli. His heart trembles with fear, and when he thinks of the ark, which his sons had so roughly taken out of the tabernacle and carried away to the violence and noise of the battlefield. What will be the outcome? Oh, suppose the ark should suffer damage or should be destroyed. He cannot remain in the house. Therefore he goes outside. Then he can hear better what is happening. Suddenly he hears something. The sound becomes stronger. It is not the voice of joy or gladness, but it seems to be a cry of distress. Oh, if only he could see! If only he could look! What is it? What is it? Why do the people cry so? He with a trembling voice asks of a passerby. A message has come through a soldier who escaped from the army. The soldier was not one of the first to flee. No, he had remained to the last, and he knows everything. This fugitive immediately ran to Shiloh. He rent his clothes and put earth upon his head. They always did this in Israel upon occasions of mourning and sadness. When the inhabitants of Shiloh see him coming, they immediately discern that he does not come with a good message. Amid profound silence, he tells what has happened. When he is finished, the people cry out with cries of distress, and that cry Eli hears. The messenger runs quickly to him. My lord, I have come from the army. I have fled from the army, he says, and then he waits. What has happened there, my son? Says Eli inquisitively and probably somewhat impatiently. Then the messenger relates, My lord, the Philistines have obtained the victory. The Israelites have fled. Thousands of our soldiers have been slain. Your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, also are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured by the enemy and has been taken away. Eli listened with bowed head. His old wrinkled hands shake. He turned pale when he heard that his two sons were dead. But with the tidings that the ark had been taken by the Philistines, he frightened so that he sprang up quickly. Now Eli, being a stout, heavy man, and of a very old age, loses his balance, falls with a dull thud upon the ground, breaks his neck, and dies. This fall is fatal to him. Poor old Eli. He had so much grief during his lifetime. He had judged Israel for 40 years. That means he had governed Israel for the space of 40 years. Oh, for Eli it isn't serious. By his death he is at once delivered from all his grief. The Lord takes him to himself into heaven. But for the nation of Israel it is sad. For them it is a sign of God's displeasure, of God's anger. This has been a very dreadful day for the nation of Israel. All these things overcame them in this one day. 30,000 soldiers have been killed. Both priests, Hophni and Phinehas, have been slain. The high priest Eli has died from a broken neck, and the ark is in the hands of the enemy. But it becomes even worse. Triumphantly, the army of the Philistines march still further into the land. They also come into Shiloh and destroy that pleasant little village. The tabernacle is not destroyed, because it has been brought to the village of Nob by the Israelites. Since this time, Shiloh has been forsaken forever. The tabernacle never was returned there, and the Israelites never again gathered in Shiloh to celebrate one of the great feasts. That is past. This history is recorded in God's word to warn us against sin, for the same God who punished Israel for its idolatry, who punished Hophni and Phinehas for their wickedness, still lives. We too will be punished if we remain living in sin. Most of the time, the Lord does not do it immediately. Oh no. Sometimes he waits for many years to punish us. Often we think that the Lord does not see it, or the Lord does not hear it. But that is a terrible mistake, for the Lord certainly hears and sees all our sins. The punishment will come, sooner or later, if this were only thought about more often.